Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Now turning onto Elm Street, and it will be only a matter of minutes before he arrives at the trademark. I was on Simmons Freeway earlier, and even the freeway was jam-packed with spectators waiting their chance to see the president as he made his way towards the trademark. It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill alongside Elm Street, there by the Simmons Freeway. Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade route. Stand by, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. I repeat, a shooting in the motorcade in the downtown area. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. The president's car is...
Good Friday evening, everyone. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. I want to thank everybody for checking in and hanging out with me tonight. That was, of course, a live audio tape of 50 years ago today, 50 years ago to the day that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. It was a little before this radio host time, but those who were there and those who were around and those who remember it like it was yesterday, everybody remembers. It's like 9/11 for younger people today. Everyone knows where they were. Everyone knows what they were doing. And it just, I'm sure for anyone who was alive at that time and remembers that horrible day, anytime they hear audio clips like that or see old videotapes and things like that, it just brings it all back like it was yesterday. And, I really did not see, I mean, I saw some coverage of it, of course, today, it being the 50th anniversary. I know there was a large gathering in Dealey Plaza today. Lots of memorials all around the country. In Boston at the John F. Kennedy Library, there was also a commemoration. And I wrote about it earlier this week over at Conservative Cauldron blog. I think if we look back, I think anybody that knows a lot of the stories behind JFK, no one is going to say that he was a perfect man. He had his foibles and he had his faults. There's just so much, so much myth and so many things surrounding who he was, just exactly who the man he was. And what I wrote about earlier this week over at Conservative Cauldron blog was, if John Kennedy could come back tomorrow, if he could come back tomorrow, take your pick of a young, vibrant, good-looking John Kennedy at the time of his election when he was 46 years old, or take now, if he were now, you know, a very old man in his 90s, what would he think of America today? You know, and I think it's a good question. It's a good question to post. What would he think of America today? You know, what would he think about? What would he think about healthcare? What would he think about the Middle East? What would he think about our post 9/11 dealings with people in the Middle East? You know, I think it's a very interesting question to ponder. I'm going to take a phone call here right off the top, right off the bat here. Hang on here just a second.
Hi.
Hi. Hey. You're listening to Conservative Calder, and I'm Becky. Hi. Thanks for calling. Who am I talking to?
Becky. Hey, thank you for having me on this evening. This is the first time. I'm a first-time listener, and, you know, enjoying your program. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
thank
you're welcome.
You. Thank you.
Very catchy title for the show, our name, or your username on Blog Talk Radio, or channel.
Oh,
name,
thank
so
you,
to speak.
Thank you.
But
thank
anyway,
you,
you know, I just wanted to, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, you called me, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, when I look back at, I'm a small government Tea Party Republican guy myself, you know, like, but when I look back at some of his quotes, many of his quotes were rather conservative, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in terms of fiscal prowess and being fiscally conservative, and in terms of the good old-fashioned bootstrapping work ethic that the United States was built upon, and I'm almost beginning to wonder if it wasn't an inside job within his own party. You know, that he was...
And I totally agree with you, and I think a lot of people agree today that if John Kennedy were alive today and politically active and, you know, just like he was then, that he does have some very conservative ideals. I mean, given his views on tax cuts and things like that, that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I completely agree with you. As far as the inside job thing goes, you know, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist on most things, I think people of my generation, maybe the people who weren't alive at the time that this happened, that maybe we have a little bit more of an objective, you know, way that we can look at it. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know about the whole inside job thing, but I don't think for 1 minute that Lee Harvey Oswald. I think maybe he fired a shot. I think maybe he fired
right.
a distraction shot, but
right.
there's too many people pointing to that fence up on the grassy knoll. You know,
absolutely.
There's 150
there
people running up to that fence.
Yeah.
There's just no way. You know,
absolutely.
And,
it was there was more than one shooter at the very least.
I believe so.
And
too.
I can't necessarily unequivocally state that it was an inside job, but I can say, I wouldn't necessarily put it past the Democratic Party today, to be out and about and after people within their own parties.
You know,
but not necessarily till death do them part. But
yeah, it's a different world now, definitely. I don't mean to cut you off here. I hate to let you go. I got other things I want to get to. But
yeah,
I really want to thank you for
thanks
calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
And,
yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for listening, and please call back. Please call back. Like I was saying, you know, there's so many different theories. You know, there's people who like the caller just said, that people who think that it might have been an inside job. I've heard a lot of things this week about there's a new book about easy for me to say. There's a new book out about how some people believe I don't remember the gentleman's name. I know his last name is Stone. That perhaps Lyndon Johnson had a lot to do with this. There's always the whole, the Russians did it, the Cubans did it, the mob did it. And again, like I wrote over at Conservative Cauldron, you know, for this to be the murder of a sitting president and for it to have been botched so badly, it's just, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around. It's really hard to get your brain around it. But you know, I think it's always something that is going to be talked about and analyzed, and there's always going to be new books, new movies, new documentaries, you know, all kinds of things like that coming out about it. So that was a pretty big deal this week. Of course, I think just yesterday, Harry Reid, what a guy. He is just, he's an evil little man. He just is. He's just, you know, and the hypocrisy runs on both sides. Both sides of the aisle do it. We're all guilty of it. But that doesn't make it, it doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it the correct thing to do. Harry Reid pulled the trigger on what they like to call up there on Capitol Hill the nuclear option. And the nuclear option basically is what it is it's a rule change in the Senate so that when non-Supreme Court judicial nominees come up, if executive office nominees come up, and instead of a 60-vote majority to confirm these people, now they only need a simple 51 majority vote. And not only that, but the entire filibuster process has been greatly snipped, shall we say, by the Democrats. And, you know, if you go back, I wish I had the capacity here to, because there's been soundbite after soundbite after soundbite this week of people who, you know, you had Harry Reid, you had then-Senator Barack Obama, you had all the usual suspects back in 2005, 2006, when the same thing was attempted, and, you know, they went on and on and on about how awful this was. Even Senator Obama talked about how, you know, is this what the founding fathers had in mind? Is this what they wanted? Well, first of all, if you look at the things that he does now, you know, nobody's real sure that he is even familiar with who the founding fathers were. You know, he likes to talk about how he's a constitutional scholar, but, you know, that's a head-scratcher to me. I gotta scratch my head and go, really? Which constitution was it were you studying? You know, they've been saying all this week that there were five different versions of the Gettysburg Address. Well, apparently, there's five different versions of the Constitution, and we're all just finding that out now because there are a whole bunch of end runs being done around the Constitution during this administration. And the reason that this came up is there are a few nominees that are being, well, they use the word block. Let's just say discussed, bandied about by the Republicans. There's nominees here to the U.S. Court of Appeals in D.C., and this is a pretty powerful court. It's a lot of times it's often called the second most powerful court in the land. And the Democrats are saying, well, the GOP, of course, is black because, you know, we only hold a majority in one-half of one-third of the government. We're holding up these nominees. And so apparently the Democrats got tired of discussing and debating and really just kind of wanted to have things their own way because, well, isn't that just the right thing to do? Well, at least now it is when they have the majority in the Senate. Now it's the right thing to do. But, okay, here's what's going to happen is that at some point, you know, all of my fellow Republicans out there, it might not seem like it right now, but at some point we're going to have another Republican president, and hopefully, God willing, Goddess willing, we'll have a Republican House or Republican Senate. And who's to say that at some point the Republicans aren't going to do this? Because they have done it before. It's been attempted. And you know, let's wait and see in what kind of panty twisting and what sorts of moaning and groaning and gnashing of teeth go on that the Democrats will participate in when this gets done to them. Because, you know, it's always okay for you when you're in the majority, but it's not okay when they are. And, you know, so you know that's going to happen. And a lot of people have speculated that should the Republicans take back the Senate in 2014, during that lame duck span of time between November and January where the new Congress gets sworn in, good old Harry Reid is going to change the rules back. So that way, once the Republicans get in and they try to change the rules back to what they are today, I know it's back and forth and back and forth and in and around and around about. Nobody can keep it straight. But, you know, that way they can say, oh, look at those mean old, those wascally Republicans. They're changing the rules on us again. Isn't that just awful? And, of course, all of their, you know, all of their water carriers in the mainstream media will just, you know, they'll be like those little dogs that wag their heads in the back of people's windows. You know, they'll just go, and, you know, that's what you'll get. But anyway, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a few presidential numbers, a few approval numbers, disapproval numbers. We have everybody's favorite talk show host, Oprah Winfrey. You know, Oprah has gotten herself a little bit of attention this week. So I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out and checking in with me tonight. I'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. TGIF. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to tell you my life story, but I am so glad it's Friday, probably more than anyone else out there. No, really, it's probably true. Anyway, we have been talking about all kinds of stuff here. Of course, we've been talking about the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy. We were talking about the Harry Reid and the nuclear option in the Senate. And you know what? That's the kind of stuff that's going to come back and bite Harry in the butt. You know, I'm sorry, it just is. And, you know, he doesn't think it is now. But, you know, karma has a bad way. Karma has a way of showing her face. So we'll just let Harry stew on that a little while. And, you know, he'll find out. He'll find out in due time. But anyway, I've got some poll numbers here for President Obama. This week there was a Gallup poll out that this is bad. It's bad. It's bad for him. And with the whole health care, the whole Obamacare rollout, and the nightmare and the train wreck that it's become, you know, I don't know how this gets any better for him. They're really going to have to pull a rabbit out of a hat somewhere for this to get any better. But according to Gallup this week, his approval number is at 39%. Disapproval is at 54%. Now, Rasmussen has this a little differently. Rasmussen has this at his approval numbers being at 45%. Disapproval, again, being at 54%. And this is the number I think that really is holy moly. Congressional job approval. In a Real Clear Politics average, and they take, oh my gosh, if you go on a Real Clear Politics website, you're going to find about 150 different polls. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the number of polls, you know, people you've never even heard of. So this is an average of all of those polls that Real Clear Politics watches, and the congressional job approval, the average out of those polls is at 9%. 9%. Disapproval is at 85%. Now, I don't know about anybody else out there, but if somebody came to me and said that my job approval was at 9%, more than likely I would be standing in the unemployment line with a box full of my stuff that I had taken from work. You know, but there's just, there's never any accountability and there's never any recourse, it seems. Yeah, you got the ballot box, but that, it just seems like, and I'm sure that there are a lot of other people maybe who feel that I do, that while the ballot box is great and we should all take full advantage of that and tell all of our friends and family to take full advantage of it, sometimes it just doesn't seem like it's enough, that there's too much time in, you know, between event A and the ballot box, and that there, you know, you feel helpless. You feel like that there should be something that you could do in that in-between time. But, you know, those are the numbers. That's the way it is. Also, everyone's favorite talk show host, Oprah. We're gonna do an Oprahization now of Conservative Cauldron Radio. I have to use my NPR voice because we know Oprah is all touchy feely and she wants to know what everybody's feelings are. How do you feel about this? Well, Oprah recently was in the United Kingdom. She was over in England promoting her movie The Butler, and she was being interviewed over there. And she was asked about her buddy, President Obama. And, well, she had a really interesting take on well, people like us, that maybe people who just don't agree with Barack Obama all the way down the line. She had a very interesting take on this.
So bring it back to the themes of the movie. Do you think has it ever crossed your mind that some of the treatment of Obama and the challenges he's faced and some of the reporting he's received is because he's an African-American, and if he wasn't an African-American, if he was a white guy, those wouldn't have happened. He'd be treated in quite the same way. He wouldn't have to deal with quite the same confrontation.
Has it ever crossed my mind? It's crossed my mind probably as many times as it's crossed your mind. Probably it's crossed my mind more times than it's crossed your mind. Just the level of disrespect when the senator yelled out, "You're a liar." Remember that? Yeah, I think that there's a level of disrespect for the office that occurs. And that occurs in some cases and maybe even many cases because he's African American.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. We were Oprah-ized. We're getting touchy-feely, and we're getting in touch with our feelings and our emotions. So, Oprah, can I ask you, would this be the same level of disrespect for the office that there was that, oh, let's say when people painted Hitler mustaches on George W. Bush, would it be the same level of disrespect that people marched in the streets with signs that said, "Bush lied, people died"? Would it be that level of respect, that level of disrespect? Apparently, Oprah has a short memory, because apparently she just has no recollection whatsoever of any of those things happening. And then let's not forget, you know, there was the President Bush was over in Iraq and the shoe-throwing incident, and how people on the left just thought that that was the most hilarious thing ever, and they went crazy and thought it was so great. You know, would it be that level of disrespect? You know, it just, you know, a lot of people, regardless of race, admire Oprah Winfrey. She has an amazing personal story. She was born and grew up in the segregated South, was born to a single mother, born into poverty, and worked her way up. And she worked her way up into a business that was not only predominantly white people, but it was predominantly men. And she managed to work her way up and get to the point now where right now she is one of the richest African Americans in the nation. I think I read somewhere that she is North America's only African American billionaire. That's billionaire with a B. And she got to that point by not just black people watching her TV show and watching her movies and her buying her books and her magazines and all those types of things. She got there because of all people of all races. And for her to make an accusation like that is just really unbelievable. And, you know, quite frankly, I think she owes, you know, she owes white people an apology. She really does. Because, you know, those white liberal guiltist women who were, you know, sitting at home during the afternoon back in the 80s watching her show and being touchy-feely, you know, a lot of those women got her where she is today. And, you know, and not only that, but, you know, just, you know, Oprah is supposed to be such a champion of women and empowering women. And is it really very empowering for women, regardless of what color they are, to assume and to imply to them that they have to think a certain way, lock, stock, and barrel all the way down the line? Because I don't think, as a woman, I don't think that's very empowering. I thought that as women that you were supposed to encourage women to think for themselves and to be independent, that that was all part of her feminist ideology. And, you know, it's really, she's really kind of contradicting herself, you know, if you really want to look at it in a certain way. But, you know, it's sad that in America that if you are a supporter of someone like that, and there's going to be people that disagree, because that's what we do as Americans. We disagree and we debate with each other. That the only comeback that you have, that the only rebuttal that you have for people who say, no, it's not, I dislike Barack Obama's policies. I don't care if he's black, white, or polka dot. I dislike him for his policies, and I dislike him for what he's not acceptable to her, and it has to be something to do with race. You know, it's kind of a, for someone who has to obviously be as intelligent as she is to get where she is right now today, it's really a dumb statement. It's really a stupid statement to make. And, you know, it's disappointing. It really is. But anyway, there was that. And I think she's going to get some backlash for this for quite a while. You know, I think people are going to, you know, and I even heard somebody say that, you know, maybe she's been this way all along, and now that she's become successful, she can just kind of let it all hang out, and now we're really seeing the real Oprah. You know, who knows? Maybe that's it. Maybe that could be. But anyway, in the limited time here that I have left, before I go, I really want to make sure that I wish everyone out there a happy Thanksgiving next Thursday. Everyone, please have plenty to eat and plenty of football to watch and plenty – but more than that, have plenty of family and friends around. Be with the people that you love and you know, the people who are the most important to you, because that's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's exactly what it says. Be thankful for the things that you have, you know. And maybe we don't all have a new car and a big house and $1 million, but you know what? We have our friends and our family, and you know, hopefully we're all still in a position where we can put food on our table and get our bills paid and, you know, those kind of things. But so I wanted to make sure that I did that before I go. Wanted to wish everyone a very, very happy, very safe Thanksgiving next week. Have a wonderful day, everyone. But before I go, a little housekeeping here. I want to remind everyone to go to the place where it all started, conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Please go to my page at examiner.com for all of my latest articles and all kinds of good stuff there. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble, and I am also on Twitter at Patriot Witch. So anyway, with that, I would like to thank everyone for joining me this evening. As I said, please have a happy, fun, and safe Thanksgiving next week. And please come back next week and join me then, and I'm sure we'll be talking about all sorts of goodies. So with that, you're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Thanks for checking in and hanging out with me tonight, and I will see you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.